Good morning and welcome. Our God is a way maker. Those times where there seems there's no way this is going to work, he makes a way. And he's a miracle worker, even today. I've been reading a book about miracles that Marilyn Larson recommended to me, and wow, just eye-opening. The miracle of life, the universe that we have, a miracle. And then the things that God does that we just don't even take for granted. We don't even appreciate it. Miracles. Light in the darkness and promise keeper. God has made promises, and when he says something, it's going to happen. There's no two ways about it. Prophecies, promises he makes to us, he's made to people in the Bible, absolutely. And light in the darkness, when it seems like it's getting dark, there is a light, our God. Alrighty. We've seen the power of the light in the children's sermon last week, how it leaves that glow with us. Next time we got kids here, I got another light-based one too. Can't wait for that. But anyway, let's start out with our readings today.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Psalm 40, verses 1 through 5. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of all your deeds, they would be too many to declare. The second reading is from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord comes. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Here ends the readings.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the Gospels. Today's Gospel from Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Here in the reading, you may be seated. Lord, we thank you for this chance to gather once again in your name and in your presence. And we ask that your words would speak to our hearts and our spirits this morning, that we may carry it on to others. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could start with that.
Be patient. Yeah, right. Hey, everyone. Pastor Mike here from Shalom. We live in a fast-paced world. We have microwaves. We have instant access to information through the internet and even next-day shipping, unless you live down by Clontarf. Anyway, we become frustrated when we don't have speed, when things don't go our way, when we're waiting in line or waiting for the weather to change, or else maybe waiting for test results from the doctor. Things that are out of our control. In the book of James, we are told to be patient and to stand firm, and also to persevere. Furthermore, blessed are those who persevere. So standing firm and persevering are things we have to do while we wait. We're waiting for the second coming of Jesus. We're waiting for him to come and set things right. And then we wait for other things as well. In this world, we will face hardships. We will be persecuted. These things will happen. But we have to remember to persevere and to stand firm. Because remember, God stands with you. To find out more, join us Saturday, or Sunday morning, 9:30 at Shalom. See you there.
All right, if you haven't seen those weekly sermon previews.
Relax. Plate's good.
The weekly sermon previews on Facebook, that was the one for this week. I have fun filming them, and Maya and Jill help out quite often as well, as you've seen. But this one about patience, yes. And when you think of patience, what comes to mind? What do you think of?
Waiting.
Okay, the waiting, right? What else is? Not having it, yeah? Jacob, okay. Patience with people sometimes. Enduring, endurance. Patience is a virtue, the patience of Job, having the patience of a saint. You know, we hear it many different ways. And it's nothing new. Patience, you know, David wrote about it in the Psalms, as we read this morning. He started out, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. Okay, so it's nothing new. It's been around for a long time. Everybody struggles with it at times. And, you know, we're not born with patience, especially you watch little kids. The attention span of all like that and the patience to match, right? Okay, they're just sort of waiting and they're fidgeting and sometimes they just can't wait for something, especially when it's Christmas or something. I can remember being a little kid, we'd open the gifts after supper, but we had to wait until the dishes were all done. And it took forever for them to do the dishes, right? And you're just waiting, that patience. And patience is something we then develop throughout life. As we get older, we get better at being patient. Well, mostly. Okay, still sometimes it can catch up with us, right? But we have the chance to develop it. It's not something that you're just given. It's something you have to develop. You have to go through the process. And we get many opportunities. While we're standing in line, we learn to develop patience. When we're put on hold for a long time. That's where the speakerphone's nice. You just put on the speaker, go about doing stuff and then listening, right? Waiting for the weather, absolutely to change. And waiting for healing. And that could be a tough one. One of the hardest parts of the healing is when the doctor tells you you got to take it easy for 2 weeks. Oh, no. When you want to be up and doing something, right? And you're impatient. You want to push it. But if you do push it too hard, you're just going to make the injury worse. So that patience is something that we have to develop. We got ways to cope with it, you know, the pacing and the tapping and things like that. But instead of those, let's try things like praying and things like worshiping and giving thanks to God. In doing that, then, we get our mind off of that thing and onto God, where there is hope, where there is peace, where there is rest, where there is assurance, all these things. So David here, again, waiting for God, waiting patiently for the Lord. And he turned to me and heard my cry. God, again, is faithful, right? Lifted me up out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. So those are the conditions under which he's waiting. Okay, a waiting room is a little more comfortable than a slimy pit. But this is what he's talking about. Life is like that sometimes, and he's waiting patiently for things to happen. But God, being faithful, takes him and sets him on a firm rock, gives him solid footing. In verse 2, he lifted me out of the slimy pit. It's what God does. He set my feet on the rock. Again, what God does. He gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth. It's not what David did. He's waiting patiently for God. And God is the one who comes through. God is the one that is acting here. God is the one that does it. He lifts them up. He sets them in a good place. He puts the new song in his mouth. God, again, being faithful to us. It's worth it. The wait is worth it. And this is also a testimony to God's glory. It says, many will see and fear. So again, it's what God does. And the waiting patiently on God, you could turn that around too. Does God wait on us? Yeah. And very, very patient with us. I know he's been patient with me in my younger years, okay? Going down some other roads and doing some things that probably didn't honor him. He was patient. Anytime we go prodigal, he's patient. He's waiting. And he's got plenty of time. God's not dependent on time, is he? He's not dependent on time. So he's got all the time in the world to wait for us. And then all the time in eternity as well. But we got this world to make that choice so that we can spend eternity with him. Again, when time won't matter. And that's one that just makes my brain go bloop, 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 trying to imagine life without time or a world without time. Okay. You're just getting this temporal loop thing and I can't, yeah. It's almost scary to, you know, try to think of eternity. There's no beginning, no end. You can do an infinite number of things an infinite number of times and still have an infinite amount of time left over. What the heck are you going to do for eternity, huh? Well, you're going to spend it with God. And you're going to be praising him and worshiping him without end. And that's pretty doggone cool to think about. So again, the patience is nothing new. David talks about it here. Other places in the Old Testament, we see examples of patience. And James, writing his words of wisdom, addresses patience as well today. From James chapter 5, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. Farmers, great examples of patience there. There's nothing they can do, right? You just got to wait. Of course, you can stress and worry in the meantime, we're not getting enough rain or we got too much rain and things like that, and maybe pacing back and forth, but ultimately, there's nothing they can do about it. They can't control it. So why worry about things you can't control? Well, because we like to worry, I guess, huh? You think of the serenity prayer. Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The things you can't change or control, you just have to accept. The courage to change the things I can, there are things that you can. But the wisdom to know the difference, and that's the key there, to knowing what you can control and change and what you cannot. Those things that we can't control, that's where we have to develop the patience. The waiting is the hardest part, like the old song goes. But yeah, we learn it. We learn it. So James says, you too, be patient and stand firm. So while you're being patient, to stand firm. This is reinforced again in our gospel today, as we'll see in a little bit, in the face of persecution, to stand firm. James then cites as examples the prophets, having patience in the face of suffering. Now, patience is tougher, again, when you're suffering. When you're in that slimy pit and things like that, it's a little harder to wait than under pleasant conditions. You know, I have a nice day and I got a good book or something, I can wait for a long time, no worries. But when you're in the midst of trials and temptations, then that patient period just seems to stretch on and on and on. You know, time is relative. And when things are going great, it passes quickly, but then other times it just seems to drag on. And that's the deal with patience. The more you look at your watch, the more you think about it, the worse it gets. Again, turning your praise to God, turning your mind to him, spending time with him, it can change your whole attitude, right? All of a sudden, you're not caught up in this thing. When you're realign it, when you're listening to worship music, when you're singing along, when you're praising and praying, all of a sudden you enter a different world in a different mode where the patience, it's not a problem anymore. So if you can get into that mindset, do so. So what did these prophets do then? We see in the Old Testament the people that had patience, Job especially, right? But a lot of the other prophets, they knew things were going to get better. And part of what they were prophesying was not things getting better, but they were prophesying truth, what God gave them, the words that God gave them, good or bad, that's what they did. and didn't always see the results of what they're prophesying. It's nice when you can see instant results. It's nice when you can see the effects of what you're doing. That's one thing about, you know, doing jobs where you can look back afterwards and see what you accomplished and go, yeah, that feels good. Not always that way with the prophets. They're saying things that are going to happen far in the future. God's speaking through them. And they had to have patience with being persecuted because their message wasn't always popular. But they also didn't always get to see the results of what they were saying. But they were persistent. And that's what is cited here as well. As you know, we consider blessed is the one who perseveres. So the prophets are patient, but they also persevered. There's a fair amount of overlap between patience and perseverance. They both involve something not happening now, waiting. There's a goal that you're going towards. But perhaps the biggest difference is patience, you're just waiting. Or is in perseverance, you actually get to do something. Maybe you're slogging through mud or something like that, but you are persevering, you're actively doing something. At least that takes your mind off it. A little bit easier that way, perhaps. Again, a goal. You have a goal that you're working towards with the patience or the perseverance. But there's that big difference. Being able to do something in the meantime. And then those times when you feel there's nothing you can do, when you're at the mercy of something else, that's when the patience gets tough. But blessed are those that persevere, especially when persecuted, as the prophets were. There's a blessing in that, when pushing on towards that goal. In Matthew 24, verse 9, which precedes our reading today, we get to hear a little bit about it as well. When Jesus is speaking of the end times, he says, "Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me, because of your belief, because of your faith. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people." So this is all going to happen, and perhaps already is happening. Every day is a closer to the end. We don't know when it will come. There's a good argument that we are in the end times here. Because of this increase of wickedness, the love of many people, or most, will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Again, to stand firm. So are we persecuted? It's a comparative thing, perhaps. We see certain places, like the missionaries that we support in India, they are actively persecuted. Their lives are in danger for preaching the gospel. Yet they do it willingly. And that's admirable. Some of them being martyred for their beliefs, but standing firm no matter what. And even in the United States, you can make an argument that by standing up for what you believe in, by standing up for this, you will at times be persecuted. People think you're a bigot, that you're ignorant, that all kinds of other things, because this is what you stand up for, this is what you believe in. But what we need to do then is to stand firm and in a loving way deal with the people that come against us. It's easy to engage in battle with them. Not the way that Jesus would do it, right? Jesus always stood firm for the faith. He never bent. He never turned away. He always stood firm. But he would redirect people in a loving way, in a caring and concerned way. And that's what we need to model as we face persecution as well. I would encourage you to stand up for what you believe in, never back down. People maybe you're having lunch with, they start discussing things that go against your beliefs. Stand up, but in a respectful and a kind way. We need to stand up for what we believe in. So the patience here as we wait, waiting for the second coming, because no one knows about the day or the hour. Many people, cult leaders, prophets, per se, or whatever, have said, oh, it's going to happen on this day, October 27th of this year, and they're all ready, and guess what? It doesn't happen. Trying to predict it, useless. I mean, it says it right here in black and white, right? Or if you got the red and white version, yeah. In red letters, it says it right here in red and white, that no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. He has set things up. He knows when it's going to happen, and it is going to happen. Jesus is coming back again, and in a big way, I can't wait. There's still a lot of things I'd like to hear yet, too. So we're sort of torn, like Paul says. He knows that. He wants to be with Father in eternity, but he still likes his life on earth. There's so much to do yet. We're sort of torn in that with him. And another example here, to be patient and to be prepared. It talks about that here. We don't know when it's going to happen, so be prepared. If you know a disaster or something is going to happen, you're going to prepare everything, you know, get ready and you're set. But you don't know when a disaster is going to come, so you have to be prepared. Have food set aside, things like that. Be stocked up on certain things. Be prepared. But spiritually, then, to be prepared here, because we know this is going to happen. This is not a disaster for us. For some people, it will be. The second coming will be a disaster for many. But for us who have given our lives to Christ, no, we're looking forward to it. We're eagerly awaiting to see him come again, to experience that. And if it happens during our lifetime, wow, even cooler perhaps, huh? Either way, we get to experience it with him. So be prepared and live prepared. Well, if I'm stocking up for a natural disaster, I'm going to stock up on food, I'm going to have access to clean water, shelter, fire, things like that. But here, we're preparing for a spiritual event. So we have to prepare in a different way. We have to make sure that our spirits are prepared and our life is prepared, our heart is prepared for that second coming. That we are spending time with him, that we read the scripture, that we pray, that we are spiritually on solid ground, spending time with other believers, being built up in the faith, finding a small group to plug into or a good church to be a part of. So important to be prepared in that way. We get caught up in the things of this world, but there's more to it than this world. We see the physical, but there's also the spiritual. And don't forget that, and don't ignore that. Pay attention to your spiritual health, our physical health and our mental health. Yeah, we can do exercises, we can do all kinds of things, but also spiritually, your spiritual health, because there is an enemy out there who wants to see you in spiritual decay. And we need to fight against that. We need to take preventive measures, and we need to be actively exercising in the spirit to be prepared and to be ready. Because this is going to happen. God has said it. It's got to happen. Along with preparing yourself, spread the words to others, of course. We are instructed to go, therefore, make disciples of all nations. So those around us that are not prepared yet, and maybe don't even believe it, take those opportunities to bring hope to them, to show them peace, joy, love, and a way to attain these things through Jesus and what he's done. Because he died for them as well, whether they accept it or not. And God is faithful. And no matter what any of those people have done, doesn't matter if you repent, if you ask for forgiveness, doesn't matter what you've gone, how far down that road you've gone, he is willing to take you back. He is faithful and he is good. And will forgive you to where your sin no longer exists. It's moved as far as the east is from the west. He no longer sees that sin when he looks upon you because of what Jesus has done. So accept that gift. Accept the forgiveness. And you can live in peace. And when you're in peace, it's a whole lot easier to be patient.